AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as you know, we serve the entire Philadelphia and tri-state area, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And you can listen to us from anywhere in the world simply by going to your internet or your phone and dialing up to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And if you are not able to have people listen now, remember you can listen anytime simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and we have an entire list of all of our rebroadcasts from the last year. Well, we are doing a lot of work over these last few years to bring attention to the fact that America needs jobs. And in fact, this year's theme of the broadcast is Grow Jobs in America. And I must say that the response has been outstanding. People are really getting the message that we have to do something, that it's really up to the American people to take action, whether it's for the elected officials, from school boards. We often have to talk about restoring vocational education programs in both junior high and high school so that America's young people have access to both general academic courses and trade course level programs that are being supported by our tax dollars. Now, in addition to all of our panel members, and I have to say that a few of them are on the road. Larkin is in Florida, but he is on the phone with us today. Normally, he's here in the studio going wild with us. And Larkin, I wanted to let you know we are having soup after the broadcast again today, so think about us on this General Thaddeus Kosciuszko birthday. Also on the phone is Rich Loges, who's also in Florida. And Rich, thank you for all of your endless help with the broadcast. And Mark Andel is in sunny, beautiful Buffalo, New York. Mark, how are you doing up there?
Good. How you all doing? Mike, like you said, cloudy today, but we had some sun, but cold. I think we hit 15 degrees yesterday. We got about a foot and a half of snow, surprise storm Monday. So snow's getting deeper, getting colder. I'm jealous of Larkin and Rich, of course. But now we've been holding on, doing real well, pushing Made in America, and just explaining to people the importance, really planning our 2015 out so we have a very successful year right now.
Wonderful. And guys, I wanted to tell you and all of our listeners, and as always, I ask that you go to your telephone and invite family members and friends to tune in. We have a very special guest with us today, someone who's been with us before, someone who is a radio listener, someone who's very technical. It is Walter Jakubowski. He's a technical educational specialist. He served as Dean of Technical Education at Delaware County Community College, among many, many other things during his career. And I'm going to ask first that we hear from Walt Jakubowski.
Good morning. Good morning, Mike and Mark, Rich, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Well, we always love to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I think the area that we're talking about, the skilled labor that we need here in our country to be able to get to move it forward, has not been addressed for quite some time. And it's critical that we begin to address this. We started to do this back in mid-2005, 2006, when we saw that the baby boomers were going to begin to exit the workforce. And we know that the baby boomers are the largest generation that is working today in the United States. Unfortunately, we do not have enough people alive to replace them. And we not only have the people alive, but we don't have the skill set that is necessary to be able to move people forward. So I am very passionate about technical education and being able to put people to work in terms of our trades and also in terms of manufacturing. And this is a must. And there's a lot of reasons why we don't put emphasis on that. But there are solutions. So we could talk about the reasons why on several different broadcasts. But I think the idea now is the problem has been addressed and we've got to find solutions.
You know, Walt, and everyone listening, first of all, thank you for all that you are doing as individual supporters of American Workers Radio, and American Workers Need You, because there's been a tremendous response to things that are happening. The biggest question people are asking is who and what is stopping America's young people from having access to every level of education, trades, industrial arts, and everything else. That is something that Mark Andel, who is a welder, and he started the American Made Store, Made in America Store. He knows exactly what this is all about. And you have spoken to Walt in the past. Mark, tell me what you think is the real problem as to why people are not able to have access to these programs right now. If you were in the school board meeting, what would you ask the school board to take action on?
Yeah, well, this is perfect today. And Walt, welcome aboard. You know, thanks for coming on because you've got that experience in this area. I want to tell you a story first, Mike, just a little bit. My daughter, seventh grade, 12 years old, I always say she's my boss. She came to me Sunday and said, "Dad, I'm starting a new course this week." I said, "What is it?" "Technology." I said, "You're kidding me." I said, this is what we talk about a lot, you know. And she went in Monday and she said, "Hey, I did really good on the first test." I said, "Why is that?" "Because all you taught me." I said, "What was it?" "Like, well, what a hammer is, a screwdriver, and all that basic stuff." Well, last night she comes home and she's got to learn how to read a tape measure. I said, "Oh, this is beautiful." Because, Walt, you know, I'm with you. I learned how to read a tape measure years ago. But a lot of the guys I'm trying to, you know, in our welding test, we want to include, can you, you know, read a tape measure? And that sounds silly to people, but it's really true. A lot of people can't read a tape measure. And in the welding, fabrication, building industry, you really have to. It's a key, you know, prerequisite you need. And, you know, Jesse and me sat there doing the 16th, the 8th. And but her having technology, so I said, "What are you going to learn in technology in seventh grade now?" She said, "Well, mainly wood, you know, how to build things with wood and whatnot." And I thought, you know, it was a spark for me. I said, "This is beautiful. I'm going to bring this up on the radio." But also, I was sad in my day, Walt, I had the metal shop, the wood shop, power mechanics, electronics. There was probably a couple other in high school. And it again, exposed people to these industries. And, you know, I wished her technology class had metal, because I'm a metal guy. I always pick on carpenters. You know, I tell them I can't weld that together. So, you know, I just burn that wood. But then John Ratzberger said, "Yeah, I just build things people live in, Mark. No big deal." You know, with wood. But anyways, you know, with Jesse taking this, you know, to the school board, Mike, I would mention this story, and I think it's great. And, you know, last year they toyed with cutting technology out of this Iroquois, the school system, you know, our public school system in our area. And I said, why would they do that? And they're talking about budget cuts. And the last thing you want to do is cut technology or life skills. And a lot of kids, not only can't they read a tape measure, they can't sign a checkbook either. So, Mike, that's my take. I think it's awesome they still have a technology course, but they need more. I would tell these board members, I run a business. You know, come see my business. Come see what I need today. And I'm looking for employees today. My customer won't wait years for employees. And that's where we're at, Walt. And I think you hit on it, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I remember when I was here the last time, you were talking about how difficult it was to be able to find welders. And one of your solution was basically that, okay, if I can't find him, I need to go outside the system and I need to start my own welding program to be able to begin to train people.
Yes.
And the idea of it is, though, is that that's not your business. You shouldn't have to do that. And that's a cost to you to be able to bring people in, to be able to train them, to be able to recruit them. You're in the fabrication business, and that's the business you should be in. We should have our schools, and whether they are proprietary schools, whether they are local programs, and even our school district, preparing the people for the basic skills in welding. When they get to you, you should be able to just show them what processes are necessary for what you're going to fabricate.
Yeah, Walt, you know, basically, I want like a C welder to come to me that's, you know, knows the basics, knows the tools. has the fundamentals down, you know, maybe a decent welder. He's got passion and he's a natural. Then I could, you know, take it to a step. Like you said, it was costly to me, to the tune of about $30,000 to $50,000 last year. I can tell you that not only did I train, but we started this using this other school called Arc Welding, and we'd send four guys every for 24-hour class, which a couple thousand dollars each, and teach them MIG, you know, TIG or sticker, and clean them up on what we needed, pulse MIG, things that a lot of schools and centers aren't teaching right now. But it's, we did it because we had to save the customer, and it worked. It wasn't pretty. Our year last year we got through, but it wasn't pretty. This year we're continuing training, but unfortunately I have to react right now. But like what you're saying, if it was already, if these people came to me and had a skill set that I could work with and then adjust to what we're building, would be awesome.
I totally agree. I worked with a very large company back in, I'm going to say the late 90s. I'm not going to mention their name because they manufacture a product that is international, and they do have a manufacturing facility here in the Delaware Valley. When they came to me, the first thing they said is they took a lot of pride in their employee loyalty. They had employees that were with them for 20 to 30 years. What they came to realize is that they were going to begin to exit en masse, and there was no people with the skill set. Primarily, these were industrial systems technicians, mechanical technicians that served all of the manufacturing equipment. And they searched everywhere, and they basically could not find any programs that would be able to teach people how to maintain, install, and operate these systems for manufacturing. So we had to do a very similar thing than what you did. We had to set up the program for this company and be able to bring in people. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we brought in people that were retired, and we had to bring them in because these were the only people who understood the technology from the very beginning to where it was today. And unfortunately, if we don't start doing this now, we're going to lose that talent. We're going to lose that information that the retirees have had for 20 to 30 to 35, 40 years. And there's nobody going to be around to replace that.
Boy, you are so right, Walt. Wow. Larkin, are you enjoying your stay in Florida?
To the degree that a stay in Florida can be enjoyed, yes, I am.
Larkin, I wanted to tell you, I had a great response from our visitor last week. Bruce was really an eye-opener for some people who never realized how things go on in other countries and how they have their act together and how we're losing our act. So,
in Europe, specifically in England, education is a process. Education is something that that the state and local people, as well as the people themselves, think everybody should have. In this country, unfortunately, it's a business. And as a result, University of Pennsylvania would get quite the chuckle if I went to them and said, you know what, I'd like to get a degree in carpentry and I want to have a minor in plumbing. That look at me and say, well, listen, we want to charge you $65,000 over 4 years to give you a four-year degree, and we would feel guilty teaching you to be a carpenter or a plumber to the tune of $65,000 in 4 years. I say that tongue-in-cheek, making fun of the college and university education system in this country, because it deserves to be made fun of. But Michael, let me digress just a little bit and make an announcement to all of my friends that I'm in Florida for a purpose. My daughter added another branch onto our family tree last Monday, not this past Monday, but the Monday before. We have a Josephine Warren Henning on the family tree now, and they're calling her Joey. Joey joins her sister, Charlie, and I can guarantee you there will be no gender discrimination coming out of this household. the weather is beautiful. I now understand more clearly why Logis is throwing Florida in our face all the time. It is absolutely, it's overcast and it's still beautiful. I went outside and got the newspaper without a shirt on. If I had done that in Philadelphia, my neighbors would have had to carry me back into the house. So it's a different part of the world. And everything that you say, just to get back on the subject, is correct. The school systems, from secondary to middle schools to our high school system through college, they are irrelevant. They are irrelevant. And I wouldn't be ashamed to stand in front of any educator in the city of Philadelphia or otherwise, Pittsburgh and Allentown and any place in this country, and say your education is irrelevant. You're not teaching our children what they need to know. We're 36th in math. We're 28th in science. We're not the smartest bulbs on the tree anymore. We are not. And we need to come to grips with that. And, and until we address education and decide that it is beyond honorable to be an educated and carpenter and an educated artist, an educated plumber, hang drywall, these are all honest jobs that should pay well. And we are not preparing our youth to meet those demands, period, amen.
And, Larkin, you're right. And I'm thinking, as you're saying that, I spoke to a gentleman earlier today, Frank Spula, who's the national president of the PNA, Polish National Alliance. And I think that's something our fraternals and all should be doing, is promoting this with our boards of education and all, because it benefits America and all of our organizations and our communities. What are the people going to do without jobs in the future? It's just like our effort with National Small Business Weekend. Let me throw a little plug in here. The first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month is National Small Business Weekend, and I ask everyone to go out and support your local businesses. No matter what they're selling, make sure that they remain alive and well in your communities, because that's what America's business is all about. Those businesses remain in the community, they keep people employed, local delivery and marketing services continue to be utilized. It creates a vibrant economy. So every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month, kindly be sure to go out and support your local businesses. And in doing so, also promote American Workers Radio and all that we're doing here on this broadcast through our internet site and everything else, that we're trying to get the trades and industrial arts back in our schools. And Walt?
And let me supplement what I've said. I don't mean to be picking on Philadelphia, because Philadelphia at this point is my home, and I absolutely love the city and would do anything to further it. But we'll take Philadelphia as an example, and we can use the Pittsburgh School District. We can use just about any major market school district in this country. The answer is not more money.
Amen.
Amen.
Not money. And the unions and the and everybody else tied to that rope needs to quit telling me that I have to spend more tax dollars to secure their all of their retirement funds and to give them raises. No, the answer is not money. The fix is not dollar signs.
It's what are you teaching is the main issue. I told Michael a story that I always told at a graduation. This is with when I ran the Philadelphia Suburban Plumbers Apprenticeship Program. And obviously I was the speaker because I was the dean of that division. And I tell this story that there was a prominent Philadelphia attorney who was holding a dinner party for a lot of his major clients. And one of the clients came to him during a dinner party and says, there's a problem with your powder room, with the toilet. It is beginning to overflow. So the attorney calls the plumber. Plumber comes out, spends about 15 minutes, fixes it, goes up to the attorney, and hands him a bill for $375. And this attorney said, you've got to be kidding me. I've been an attorney for 25 years, and I've never billed anybody that amount, $375 for 15, 20 minutes worth of work. And the plumber said, well, when I was an attorney, I never did that either.
Oh, Rich, you've been sitting there quietly.
Oh, I quiet, but paying attention. Walt, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning to our listeners. Thanks for coming on. So a couple things, guys. In my cautiously pessimistic way, I see, Walt, a confluence of potentially good things right now. We're seeing wages, albeit gradually and still too slow, but nonetheless, wages going up. Next week on our show, we'll have Scott Paul, who's going to join us from the Alliance for American Manufacturing. He's going to give us his 2014 report card. And I'm going to ask him to address, Michael, the points about education that we've been talking about recently. So he's going to be on. And I think a lot of what he's going to say is there's going to be good news. I think there's going to be actually some good news from it. We had Justin Friend on recently, who's the living proof of how the trades can pay off when the individual is motivated and dedicated. We have in the news recently tax holidays, which our listeners can go online and read about exactly what that is, about trying to get back some of the work that went overseas for a very simple reason, Walt, money. You know, why did jobs go? Why did manufacturing go? Simple, money. Costs less. They can make overseas, companies can make overseas, and not have to worry about paying corporate tax here. And some of that money, Walt, that's not been taxed has been deferred for decades. And let's be honest about it. We're never going to see that money. America is going to probably never see most of the corporate profits that are overseas and not taxed. So that's a fact. It's not that I'm gung-ho about a tax holiday. I think it's a very worthwhile part of our public economic discussion right now. And good news, it's being led by two very visible congresspeople, Barbara Boxer and Rand Paul. So this is all potentially good news about things that we're talking about, though some of them are still in their infancy. And one other point I want to make, unrelated, Larkin, about Florida. I really apologize, guys, that if I'm throwing Florida in anyone's face, I really don't mean to. I'm just saying, I was dumb for over 35 years living in cold. You know, I mean, it is. I love my friends and family who are in New York. I don't love them any less for being dumb. I mean, it's dumb. You know, it's like you eat fast food or hot dogs every day. I love you no less, but it's dumb. I mean, it is. So I don't mean to do it, but you guys know you always got an open invitation down here in Florida. But, Walt, these are things that are happening that I see as potentially good news. I also see something else maybe in the making, and it's this. The educational denial about, or ignorance, or whatever we want to call it, about how trades and skilled labor can potentially pay off, let's see if that's going to dwindle in certain school districts. Where 5 or 10 years ago it was go become an app developer, not a welder, right? 40 years ago, Mark, it wasn't build apps that didn't exist. It was be a plumber and weld and be a carpenter. So let's see if educational institutions, namely i.e. public school districts in particular, are going to start catching up with the times and do away with some of that archaic thinking. It remains to be seen, but with this confluence of all these things, Walt, it might very well wind up happening. But, guys, ultimately, if you want change in schools, damn it, if you're a parent, you need to get your ass to the school board meetings and get in front of the people that are making decisions and spending the money.
That's exactly right. That is the craziest thing when people say, I don't know where the school board meets or when the school board meets. I said, well, then how about when you have parent-teacher nights? Find out. Speak up to the teachers. Go to the principal while you're there at parent-teacher night. People fear to be taken notice of. They don't want to be the person who strikes up the conversation about something that could be considered as controversial. But the big problem is, what's really stopping our young people from having access to the trades that could help them to have a job for a lifetime? I don't understand, you know, what the problem is.
Again, you know, the schools are basically judged, and you hear the ads on the TV, the radio. They are judged by how many of their seniors go on to four-year colleges. They don't even consider community colleges going on to college. They tout the numbers 90% of our graduates go to, and they name, you know, the very prestigious schools. That's how they're judged. And that's what's in there. That's basically what's in their mind. Now, just to, you know, Rich, to talk about this, there are a lot of people here in the Philadelphia area that are doing a lot of good things in terms of technical education. I'm working with the Latino Contractors Association, who's having a very difficult time trying to expand those businesses with skilled technicians, HVAC, electrical, carpentry, et cetera. But there are a lot of people doing a lot of extremely good things, and the problem is that they're not doing it together. They're doing it in a silo, so the voice is not being as amplified as it should be. And former Congressman Kurt Weldon, I use this analogy quite a bit. He says, "Yeah, there are a lot of people," he told me, "doing great things. It's like a bunch of musicians. We've got great trumpeters. We've got great trombone, violin players. What we don't have is an orchestra. We're not getting together and playing the same tune and speaking that message very loud and clear as a consortium and not as an individual silo and trying to be able to move that forward. If we get together and mention this at school boards as a consortium, not as an individual, but as a group, people are going to start to listen, and so will our school boards and our elected officials."
Right.
Walt, I think that was well said. And, you know, again, and it comes down to leadership, though. We need better leaders in the country and at every level, school boards, government, state, local. Leadership isn't for everyone, and everybody's not a leader. There's leaders and followers, right? But we need better leaders. But like you said, we need one pipeline. Even with our Made in America initiative, Mike and Rich and, you know, Larkin, we're trying to get everybody on board. Me, John Ratzenberger, everybody, we're all doing similar things. Let's get it all aligned, American Workers Radio. Look what we can do together, and people have power, and that's what we need, more togetherness, more team play.
Got it.
Gentlemen, at this time, I have to take a few minutes to just acknowledge some of our faithful daily sponsors here of our network on 860, Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and on Sundays from 12:30 until 2:30 in the afternoon. But I would like to say thank you. Remember, this is National Small Business Weekend this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as is every Friday, Saturday and Sunday of the first weekend of every month. I'd like to say thank you to Polka Deli at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia, as well as the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, located in Port Richmond, and Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. Also, Washington Savings Bank and Martin Bednarek, their president, wants to make sure that you know they have five locations in Philadelphia to serve all of your banking needs. And Yolanda Konopatska, the Scipio attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. You can always depend upon her. You'll find those listed in our monthly bulletin board and on our internet site. Also, Karen Janad of State Farm Insurance welcomes you to contact her about auto, home, and life insurance plans, and best wishes and thank you for supporting American workers. From Dr. Wojciech Zinn and everyone from Everest Dental, they're located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the Polish National Alliance, America's largest national life insurance organization, representing people across the USA, welcomes you to contact the PNA at 1-800-621-3723. And also best wishes from Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue, and from Mr. Chester Kshanovsky of Serena's Auto Body Shop, with their two locations in Philadelphia and also in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And NetCost Market invites you to come there. They're located at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. That's at Byberry Road and Bustleton Avenue. And also Mr. Joseph Drobot, who is the national president of the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, a daily supporter of our radio broadcast, thanks you for all you are doing to promote the American Workers Radio program, as well as American Workers Need You, Support American Made. And Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices to serve you. For more information, give him a call at 215-564-1866. And for a great smile, remember Dr. Eva Machak is there to assist you, with two offices in Philadelphia. Give her a call at 215-739-2787. And also another outstanding attorney who is a supporter of ours is Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, located on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia. For more information, give him a call at 215-575-7624. And I'd like you to know that I do acknowledge all of our advertisers each day during the broadcast and during my Saturday program as well. I want to thank you for supporting them, and thank you for walking in the door and letting them know that you hear about them here on 860 AM. And also, I encourage you, before we go back to our special guests, to check out all of the links on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, where you'll find pictures of our panel. And of course, when you click on Mark Andel, you'll go right to the Made in America store. Do support all of his efforts. And as you know, National Small Business Weekend, we have a great link on there. Check it out, as well as the link to contact your national as well as your state level elected officials. We got to hear that more and more people are contacting their local officials so that we don't dance around anymore. We need them to react in our behalf. That's why they're sent to these jobs. That's why we're paying tax dollars, which pay them. We want some results. Well, guys, I wanted to let you know, Henry enjoyed his trip to Florida with his wife, Jeanette, and his four kids. And so you are experiencing a little bit of that down there this week, Larkin. Congratulations on your new addition to the family. And Rich, I know you're probably sweating down there with 70 degrees. And Mark, how much snow do you have on the ground in Buffalo?
Buffalo, I'm 15 miles south of Buffalo. I've got an honest 2 foot.
So
at
little?
Home, home, I got a good 3 foot, honestly. No exaggeration.
Hey, wait, more coming. I have 2 feet, but I don't measure it in the way of snow. You got 2 feet of snow?
Yeah, we're not inches, you know, here. We got the snowmaking machine called Lake Erie. when that wind blows over, it's been coming down, too.
Yeah, I've been thinking about you, and some of our listeners, as I got around this past weekend, asked me, is Mark being affected by that snow? I said, well, if you hear anything that's coming down on that line, he's definitely getting it, as is Chicago and everybody else. In fact, the people in Boston, I think they got 3.5 feet in the last 10 days.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, the media, and you know, especially Rich, you know, the media works, and they've been talking up every storm. So 4 inches we get here, they get excited, they close down things. But we're used to feet. But this last Monday storm, really nobody said anything about it, and we ended up with about 16 inches out of nowhere. And but media, number one, you know, if they're not accurate with weather, it shuts down the retail area. So it does hurt the businesses around. With General Welding, we sell snow removal equipment, so everybody hates me equally. I like the snow because we move snow plows and parts. And, Rich, I can't sell plows in Miami or else I'd probably be down there.
So You know, there's a great discussion going on now with what the media did last week. I think it was last week or the week before. Yeah, last week. With the snowstorm, the nor'easter that hit, and their prediction that Philadelphia was going to get between 2 and 3 feet, and we ended up with an eighth of an inch. But the poor city of New York spent in excess of $200 million shutting down their transportation system.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Wow. In preparation for a non-event. That doesn't include the retailers, the business people, the services that all completely lost money because they closed up and ran, and it was a non-event.
Unbelievable. Yep.
Hard to make up that money, guys, too. That's the problem.
Mm. Yeah, you just can't make up that money. And I don't know whether it's NOAA, the National Weather Organization, or if it's the press. But I will tell you, the night before that snowstorm hit the East Coast, my local news from 6 to 6:30, 25 minutes dedicated to the impending snowfall, and the evening news that followed it with Brian Williams, as for give you a hint which channel I listen to, they spent again, I come into it, 24-25 minutes talking about nothing but the snowstorm and how it was going to affect the East Coast, and it never happened. So I told my wife, don't ever predict a nor'easter and have a slow news day on the same day. You're in trouble.
And what also happened was when we had that non-event, our local stations were telling us what was going on in Boston and up in New England just to kind of save face.
Right, right. They said we should be so grateful that, you know. You know, gentlemen, if I said to any of you, if I asked any of you where particular products are available for sale, I'm sure that many of you could make some suggestions. But if I asked Larkin or Rich or even Mark or Walt or any of our listeners, what stores would they send me to seek out definitely made American products? That would be a tough, you know, thing to answer. As I ask people that, they say, well, televisions, you can go to Best Buy, you can go here, you can go there. I say, well, are there any televisions made in America? And they say, I don't know. I said, but you know where there's a dozen and one types of televisions available. Changing the lack of knowledge that people have about what's actually made in America is the goal of our whole program. And we've taken on this new challenge, and that is to get the people to contact their local officials, their school boards. We want those educational programs back. We want the trades back.
I think the thing is that the American public, the American consumer, is still buying based on price. They're still price shoppers. The economy has not fully recovered. People aren't in a spending mood. I am personally overwhelmed that this drop in gasoline from $4 a gallon to $1.99, with the billions and billions of discretional dollars that this has put on the street, hasn't given an instant lift to our economy. I am still kind of confused as to why that's not happened.
Larkin,
but everybody in the country is starting to talk more about Made in America. The president talked about Made in America in his State of the Union. He talked about education and the need for, to increase in skills. And so we're going in the right direction. It's just a matter of how hard we can push to get it there faster. I didn't mean to cut in there, Mark.
No, I didn't want to cut short. No, I mean, with the gas going down, you're right in testimony that, Mike, if you asked me, you know, where should you shop, you'd know my answer, right?
Made in America store.
Elma, New York.
We're up to 450 manufacturers we support now. We went from 400 to 450 now, and we're up about 6,700 products. So that's great stuff. The gas being down, though, I thought, too, it would give them people more disposable income. But our January to January was within, like, $1,000. It's incredible, within and a percent from this year to last year. Now, the cold and the snow hurts the retail side, absolutely. But that, like you said, Larkin, you know, it's not showing up. See, it's a double-edged sword with the lower gas prices, helps everybody, helps my employees, and I like it. But I do oil and mining work, and most of the country and world is driven, and Rich, you can back me on this, on the oil and the sales and the work that it creates. Most of my customers somehow are related to gas and oil exploration, manufacturing, new products, old products, and gas. And unfortunately, when the gas is down, this slows down the economy because it's helping the people at the pump but hurting them at their job. It's a strange relationship.
Yes. You know what? Yeah. To add to all of that, one of the things that bugs me the most is when I speak with our elected officials, they say to me, well, Michael, you have to understand that we live in a free market economy. So it's really difficult to create any kind of law to keep businesses here in America. And my response to them is, well, that's why I'm working on this American Workers Need You project so diligently all these years, because there's no reason that the American people can't create their own demand for American-made products, and that's what we're asking to do. We're asking people to go out, look at the label, speak up where they shop, and we'll make some changes. Now, that's part one. Part two is the people we were talking about earlier, we're not going to have any skilled workers in this system. So we could have jobs there, but if we don't have the labor force to go into the jobs, what are we going to do, Walt?
Well, that's the single most factor, the skilled labor, and also the perception. Let's talk a little bit about manufacturing. The perception of manufacturing is that it is a very dirty occupation, and and consequently, nobody wants to encourage people to get into this manufacturing. However, if they did a little exploration, if the schools, counselors, et cetera, would look at what automation and robotics in advanced manufacturing is all about, they would have a different tune. It is a highly, highly, highly skilled job today. It is not labor intensive. I visited a company out in the Pittsburgh area that I don't know if anybody is familiar with the maglev system. This is the high-speed trains that you would see in Europe. They manufacture the rails for these high-speed trains. And when I was out there, I was absolutely amazed to watch the technology at work as to how they manufacture this. The welding is all robotic welding. These rails have to be a very different terrain throughout Pennsylvania where they're going to lay the rails. And using GPS technology, they send that information back to a computerized system where the individual actually designs how the rail should look for that particular geography and whatever that topography is going to be. And it's you see these individuals, and they came out of programs, community college programs that dealt with robotics and advanced manufacturing. And we need more of that. We need a lot more of that within our community college system, because that is the future of manufacturing.
Well, that's a perfect segue, and let me tell you about how I found that company. In my household, especially the television in my office, it's very bizarre. It's either on C-SPAN or the government channel watching City Council, or it's on the Science Channel. And on the Science Channel in Philadelphia on 110, they have a program that they run back to back to back to back to back. They run it all day long. That's great filler, and it's called How It's Made.
Yeah.
And it's a 30-minute program, and they usually look at three products. They don't go too deeply into the product. But that company that manufactures those high-speed rails was on about 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
And they literally take you from raw steel, how it's poured, how it's plated, how it's cut, how it's formed, how it's welded, and they show you the final end product of the weld. And if you want to do something to build, and Mark, I've gotten so many ideas from watching this program. If you want to watch a program that will build your confidence that we really do manufacture things in this country, it's not quite as bleak as the Chinese would have us think it is. You know, listen, the trade imbalance is out of whack, and we know that. But this program goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks and months at a time without repeating programs. And it does everything from how a bottle is made in this country to how we weave sheets to how these high-speed rails are made, and how the car wash company that I used to be a regional manager for, how they make car washes. I mean, it's really kind of a unique program. So it's on the Science Channel. It's called How It's Made, and you'll be fascinated with it. And Walt, to the end of your story, that's where I found that high-speed rail.
Did they ever talk about how they moved those rails to the location that they need to be positioned?
If they did, I don't remember. I remember them moving them around the plant, curing them, and then bringing the temperature down, and then they heat them up again to try to form them again. But no, I do not recall. I don't recall.
The way they get to move them, because of the weight and the size of the rail, is they use blimps to be able to bring it to the location where they're going to be. Where they're going to be located. That's the only way that they could actually get it there with the amount of weight that they have. They can't go over a road surface or rail or whatever the case is. So that's how they actually move it.
I gotta believe the producers said, you know, we'll follow that rail all the way to when you declare it's made. And that's what they do. They spend all of their time in the factory explaining exactly what you're seeing. Mark, you need to find the Science Channel on your television and watch How It's Made. It will inspire you.
I have watched that, and you're right. I want to watch it more with you talking about it, but there's some neat things in how it's done that just people should watch it more and more.
Yep.
Walt,
yep, agreed.
What you're talking, Walt, about with automation, I have to admit to it being near and dear to my heart, and my showing probably a higher than level degree of bias, because it's what I do for work. It's what my business is in. My company is in integrating automated and barcoding technologies into companies. And our technologies are not meant, and the end result of them are not to supplant human beings. It's to make workers more efficient and more productive. And the false and long-standing and still seemingly somewhat strong perception of technology having sent jobs in manufacturing overseas in large quantities, it has been disproven time and time again. And if we're going to stay stuck in neutral on this idea of technology and automation having sent jobs, if we're going to be stuck in neutral on this, you can't resolve an issue if you don't know what's causing it. And if you think one thing is causing it when it's not, you're no better off than not having known about it at all.
Yeah,
and
that has
Scott Paul, whom I mentioned, who will be on next week, he's been on our show before. He talked about that last time he was on, about it being a misconception. And undoubtedly, he'll talk about it again next week. Have technological advances as an end result, whether planned or not, have they displaced people, and have those things happen? Sure. Has it happened? Has it been the primary reason? No. And I'm not saying sure in a flippant way, like it's okay. But when economic factors in the world change and the world becomes more competitive and global, then there are going to be things that happen that maybe were unintended. But that's not a primary reason. It's not even in the 50th, top 50th percentile of reasons.
Yeah. Well, the technology,
why our manufacturing jobs went.
What it does is just, it begins to make us a lot more competitive globally, and also make us more productive. And you're right, there are people that will be displaced, but all they have to do is retool. And in many of the situations over time, the average individual, and I could even include myself, I've retooled 6 or 7 times in my career, only because of primarily what we're talking about, new technology. And it just creates making us as a nation more competitive. And you're right, we don't need the people to shoe horses, but we sure do need a lot of automobile mechanics these days.
Yes.
Undoubtedly.
Guys, did anybody see, you know, with the Super Bowl Sunday, did you see the WeatherTech commercial?
Yes, I did.
Yes. During,
you know, they
yes,
did an yes, awesome yes. job. They always have. I sell them. I promote them. But what a nice commercial. They showed the design. Walt, they showed technology that they use to design these floor mats, but the fit vehicle is like a glove. I mean, there's so much there just in that commercial, and hats off to that company. Them commercials, $4.5 million for 30 seconds is unbelievable to me. I just can't even fathom. But WeatherTech, again, if you've seen that, I think just really nailed it.
In fact, my wife is buying me a set of those for my anniversary.
Very, very good. You'll love them. They fit wonderful.
It'll go along with my New Balance sneakers.
Yeah, as long as you don't buy her them.
No. She's got the local cheapies.
Can I find them to fit my 1989 Bonneville?
Yes, they're laser done, so they'll do anything, Larkin.
And they have models that you can actually fit, fit one size fits all type mats too. But very, very, they got lips on them that hold the water in. It's just a really neat design, fit like a glove.
Well, you know, guys, we have really covered a lot of good
with our toaster.
Oh, Larkin. Mark is still working on ideas about that toaster. When you get back here, we have to do it. We cannot find one American-made toaster. That's pretty frightening. You know, as you were talking a few minutes ago, we talked about it will displace, technology will displace people. However, let me give you a good example. In speaking with some of the people in the different industries, let's just focus again on clothing. Clothing industry could restore back in America, 14 million more jobs if we just got back 50%, just 50% of our clothing industry. Now, it's not only the people that are making the clothing, it's the packers, it's the salespeople, it's the all that sort of stuff that they would be doing to get the clothing to market, new models, new designs. All those people are presently out of work because this stuff is coming from overseas. It's thrown on our store racks, and we have no decision in the matter. As Larkin said a few weeks ago, you're right. They are now talking about what products they're going to offer in the year 16 and 17. How many of our people in the United States, how many of our designers are making decisions on what we're going to be having available to us here in 16 and 17?
You know, it's interesting talking about that, clothing manufacturers. I saw a clothing manufacturer located in South Philadelphia that made men's suits, semi-custom suits. And what they were looking for is they were looking for people to actually do sewing. But what fascinated me was that the material that they cut, usually you'd have people cutting one at a time, they use CNC equipment to be able to cut the material for the suits that they were manufacturing. I also saw another window manufacturer out in Morgantown also using CNC equipment to cut the lumber, cut the glass, and use robotic welding to put these windows together. So if we look at a person who becomes a CNC machinist, if we bring these industries back, whether it's clothing, whether it's building products, whether it's glass or whatever the case it is, there will be a tremendous amount of jobs for CNC technicians. If we had them, I think those industries would come back.
Oh, yes, we would definitely have them. In fact, guys, as we get closer to the end of our broadcast today, I just want to remind everyone that this is the first weekend of February and it's National Small Business Weekend. Please do go out and support all of your local businesses so that we'll be able to see them flourish and not have hard times. And just also, there's really no reason for us not to help to create jobs in America. Every time we buy an American-made product, we are not only helping the private sector businesses remain operational here in the USA, but we're also creating an ongoing demand for the products that are being made in America right now. But more importantly than all of that, and we're going to have to address this on future broadcasts, why can't America's national leaders help businesses here in the USA to be more competitive by offering them long-term tax incentives to make doing business in America the best place to do business, period. I mean, that's something we have to talk about. Put that on our future agenda, because we can't continue to have young people unemployed with great education, sheepskins, and no future where they're going to be able to have something to offer their family in the future.
And we also have to do a lot more for the small business person. We keep talking about that the small business is the backbone of this country. But anytime we start looking at who are we going to support, we'll support the company that has the big sign out that we all could recognize, et cetera, et cetera. But we do very little and any incentive to get that small business person to be able to grow their business and to be able to hire more workers. So if we're going to talk about this is the backbone of our country, it's not only the major tax incentives for the large companies. We need to start doing something to support the small business.
Yes, person. We have to become, as Americans, become very vocal about, and we are having, and more people are joining the cause. I want to compliment David Muir from ABC World News, because he's really doing a great job. He's joined our campaign, and he's really promoting what we're doing. And I want to say thank you to Mark Andel, to Rich Logis, and to Larkin Connolly, and to our very special guest today, Walt Jakubowski. And Walt, I'm going to depend on you to come back very often, because as we make change happen, we have to start speaking to these secretaries of labor and industries in the different states so that they work with the school board, so that Department of Education and labor and industry finally get together and say, we've got to do something to help America get back on track.
And, Michael, I've got to step away with my 10-day-old grandchild and get back to her math lessons. We're just getting to quadratic equations. It's really catching on.
Hey, Larkin, I'm having a Winterfest, guys, up here this Sunday. You know, you could come. I'll pull you around on the snowmobile.
Oh, there you go. Do you know, here's
I might be paddleboarding, Mark.
Here's one you can put on your list, Mark. I have never been on a snowmobile.
I'm gonna help you there also. Not only the toaster, I'm gonna give you a ride.
Okay. And Rich, tell us about our guest next week.
Yeah, guys, we're gonna have Scott Paul on again from the Alliance for American Manufacturing. He was a guest of ours several months ago. He's graciously agreed to come on. He's gonna give us his 2014 manufacturing report card. And one last thing, Michael, and I want to ask Walt. Larkin can check me on this. I believe that the numbers, that for people employed by small businesses is 77-78% of our workforce. So, Walt, I want to ask you a question, and it's not a trick question. Do you agree that jobs are created by businesses that are new or business and or businesses that are existing and growing? Do you agree with that statement?
It's by both, actually.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough of the innovation and people willing to be entrepreneurs, leaders, and take the risk.
Because we might have presidential candidates who don't think that. So that means you are more capable. You'll get my vote before some other candidate who has said that publicly.
Hear,
with
hear.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. And thanks, and I'll see you all on Saturday at 11 here on 860. David Zenyap, Shiem Nego.
Nice talking to you guys. Believe and buy American.
Take care.